We're on now to a story from, well, I guess you could call her an expert on marriage. She's been married twice before, and she's currently engaged. This eternal optimist is the education director and open mic coach at Speakeasy, D.C. She loves hearing other people's stories, and she's thrilled to be on the telling end tonight. Please welcome Stephanie Garibaldi.
So in spite of my black dress of death on this festive occasion, I'm actually a big fan of fate and the pull of it and destiny, whether you make it or break against it or just fall into it cluelessly, as is my wont. And this is what I was thinking about on this evening of the precipice of my own marriage. I was standing in the parking lot of a posh restaurant waving goodbye to the last of the dinner rehearsal guests, and I felt my almost husband come up behind me, wrap his arms around me, kiss me on the back of the neck. You know that spot where it tingles all the way down your spine and then your spine dissolves? That spot. And then he said to me very sweetly, "Would you come for me?" Oh, I think that's pretty much bad luck, even if I'm not in my wedding dress, to have sex in the parking lot. It's a rule somewhere, I'm pretty sure. No, I mean, would you come for me to our special secret place so we can be alone, just together before the wedding madness? Uh-huh. It was like he owned an entire manual on romance where every other guy I'd ever dated only had like just a glimpse of a page or maybe a paragraph. Of course, yes, I said, knowing that this would probably mean I just committed to having dark circles under my eyes for all the wedding photos that would be taken the next day. But the thing is, I'm a sucker for romance, and when we met, it wasn't actually romantic. We just met as friends. It was a bizarre twist of fate. We were both in Germany. It was my first 3 days there to celebrate not graduating from college, and... Sorry, Mom. And it was his last three there taking a break from his busy law firm in Peru. And we were drawn together, even though it was kind of pointless because I'm not moving to Peru. And he showed no interest in the States. And so we just palled around and we exchanged addresses. But it was one of those things where it was like, I never thought I'd hear from him again. But when I got back about 3 months later from your railing, there it was. A beautiful calligraphy written letter from him. And it was long, too. So not to be outdone, I wrote back. And we started, and this was in the days of snail mail, okay, where everything takes like a month. You people don't know, telling you it was dedication and devotion. But it wasn't lovey-dovey. It was just kind and flattering. And this went on for about 3 years until one day when he showed up on my doorstep in Seattle. He'd driven for 26 hours, having only the clothes on his back and a guitar, and he announced, "I have come for you." He then proceeded to come in and play this beautiful Spanish classical guitar, which I hadn't known he could do, and he sang these sad Spanish love songs, like the one called Deja que caiga la luna, that says, yes, you've heard of it, let the moon fall from the sky, let all the stars burn out and die, I won't mind as long as I have you. And I was touched, because that would be a very bad thing if the moon was to fall and the stars were to burn out and die, but he wouldn't mind if he had me. I think it's safe to say I then had an out-of-body experience, which included not just my soul, but my brain exiting my body. I hovered over, helplessly looking on, as my body without us continued to speak and said things like, "Don't move in with your sister, move in with me." I had never lived with anyone. And after 3 months of living with him, he then popped the question in a very simple way. He just said, "The fates brought us together, and now I cannot imagine living without you." Again, I was touched. Another 3 months went by, and that took us up to the very night before our wedding. So yes, for those of you doing the math, 6 months total. 3 years of writing, though, and 6 months. And so he spread the blanket out on our secret place, the very top of a hill on Gasworks Park. It overlooked the entire city, a lake with all the lights gleaming off the water. And I sat back to snuggle in, thinking, yes, this is nice. This is the beginning. This is what married life will be. Very calm. And then he said, we need to talk. Uh-oh. This was not going the way I had planned. He said, I want us to start our marriage tomorrow being completely honest with each other. We were just starting with the honesty now? So there's something I need to tell you. Oh, my God. You're gay, in spite of the great sex. You're gay, right? You've killed someone in your own country. That's why you're coming here now. You're fugitive. You like to wear women's clothes. What? Oh, no, nothing like that. It's just that, well, when we met, you thought I was your own age, and I let you think that, and I'm actually 6 years older than you. Oh, well, that's not so bad. I mean, all matter kind of recycles, so technically we're all the same age, and besides, you're the handsome one, and this way I get to be the younger one. That's fair. Okay. But maybe we should go now, since we've cleared this up. I'm glad we had this talk, but we should probably get some sleep. But there's more. I can't believe it. What else could there possibly be? He said, I have been married before. It's the sort of thing you might know if you'd gotten to know each other a little better. He said, well, I was a law student, and one of my colleagues was very upset. She told me over dinner that she'd been diagnosed with some horrible form of cancer, and she only had 2 months to live, and she wasn't going to get all these things she wanted to do, like marriage and kids. And so I said, I'll marry you. But then she didn't die, and so, you know, I had to divorce her. So I am divorced. The thing is, it's now this cynical side of me is starting to pop out. And it occurs to me that these two things he's just told me are both things that I'm going to find out the very next day when we complete the paperwork for the Justice of the Peace. Because you have to reveal any previous marriages and divorces. And, of course, your birthday will be on the paperwork. But I push that aside. Because at this point, it's a little late for reason now, isn't it? And I say, you know what? It's not your fault she didn't die. It's a very nice thing you did. That's all right. I'm glad we cleared this up, though. It's good to know you better before we marry each other. Thank you for telling me. Now can we go? And I stand up and I start to pull the blanket up. But he puts his hand on mine. There's something else. No, for the love of God! And then he launches into a huge thing. His whole life story, which apparently I knew none of, starting with the fact that he was born a bastard to his 14-year-old mom after she took a role in the hay. And he's going on raised by his aunt and his uncle as if they were really his parents. And I'm tuning out at this point. I'm just like, I don't know this man at all. It is a total stranger before me. And it's probably not good to marry a total stranger. But then I pictured all my relatives and family and friends in to Seattle, already asleep, soundly in their little hotel beds, waiting for tomorrow. And I think about the embarrassment involved in calling the whole thing off. And I decide, you know what? It's all a crapshoot anyway, right? It's just one big leap of faith. What's the difference? This way, it may be longer before we get bored with each other because we don't actually know each other at all. And so I wait patiently until he finishes to the end of this long, traumatic, worthy of some talk show story. And I say, you know what? It's all right. I'm going to be your family now. It's all right. And we go. And we sleep. Few hours, but I really can't. I'm tossing and turning. And when we get to the actual wedding, the morning, with everyone there smiling, he's got one person on his side, and the rest is all filled with my people. And I think to myself, dear God, let someone save me and object. But nobody does, because the preacher, who's my adopted brother, who's never done this before, is so nervous that he decides not to take any chances, and he leaves that part out. And so, they asked me if I do, and I did. For about year and a half. Till I couldn't stand it anymore. I don't know what you're thinking. This might have shaken my belief in the fates, but I did get the most amazing daughter out of it, so maybe the fates know what they're doing after all. Thank you.
Stephanie Garibaldi. I kept picturing her husband as Fabio. I don't know why. That'd have been the way she was delivering his accent.